Atari's back in the video game business. Google may have a run for its money, eventually. And showgirls on this show? Find out all that and more on this week's episode of Android App Addicts. Hey everybody, welcome back to Android App Addicts. This is episode 540 of the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, whatever else happens to cross our minds. My name is Mark. That guy over there, he's who you're really here to see. Door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Door. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. And I'll say to everyone, do not forget, if you want to quote-unquote see us every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, podnuts.com, click on live, click on Android App Addicts. You too can be here. And if you are here, you could get like a double entry into the Google Home Mini giveaway that I'm doing right now.
Whoa, a double entry just for showing up?
Anybody who is watching the show live at all this week, go ahead and shoot me an email during the show, aaa@podnuts.com. You will get double entry into the show because.
You're really going to milk that $20 Google Home thing, aren't you?
We all have to do our part, Mark. We all have to do our part.
So before we get too far into the show, I want to give a shout out to Richard Quirin. Guessing that's the way you say your last name, Richard, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, who is the Patreon sponsor for the show. Richard has been a faithful Patreon sponsor, and we appreciate that. So much so, this show is dedicated to you, buddy. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, and he's an unbelievably nice guy, and I will say he, to me, is the example of why I now miss Google+. I know he still has his blog. I can't remember what it is, but I know I can find it again. And I really should take time to sit down and check it out again. Unbelievably nice guy. I actually believe he's Canadian as well, which might explain his niceness.
Well, you're just repeating yourself. Canadian, nice guy.
Right. That's like saying ATM machine. I already said the machine part. Yeah, really nice guy. Always been helpful and always post really good pictures and stuff. But how are you doing, Mark? It's been a whole week. I mean, 2 weeks in a row.
I know, it's rough. I just want to take a moment to apologize. In this world of everybody gets offended at everything, apologies are important. And to all the guitar players through all the years that I have razzed, I apologize. That is a difficult instrument to learn. I've been taking guitar lessons, trying to learn to play the thing. Been playing the bass guitar for 25 years, and I thought surely some of those skills would transfer over. Not a dang thing. No, I'm sitting here now nursing my blisters that haven't yet become calluses, and I can't even play four chords. So guitar players around the world, I'm sorry.
And that's why they make fun of drummers. I'm just saying.
They have machines that can do all that.
Yeah. So I'll ask, how was your week? I'm going to guess the temperature heated up a little bit for you here lately.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was in the 90s, like 91, low 90s, which around here is a heat wave. But this week, it's been in the mid 80s, which, you know, from where I'm from in Texas, we call that winter. It hasn't been so bad. It's been, we have had like a record dry spell. It went almost 20 days without rain, which around here is just unheard of.
Gotcha.
But it's storming right now. So, you know, yin and yang.
Yeah, we had a little bit of crazy storms last week. We went for about a day without power, but for the last at least 5 days, it's been pretty peaceful and quiet, except for my youngest son's mouth, where he has had a bar of soap in it. Uh-oh. For about a combined 30 minutes in the last week or so. Yeah.
So I may have mentioned that on this show before, but around my house, we call those power words. They're not bad words. It's not wrong to use them. There's nothing inherently evil or sinful about them. They're just power words, and you want to save them for when you have a powerful thing to say, when no other word will do. And if you overuse the power words, they lose their power, and then it just becomes like the word smurf, right? So there are some people who the F word is like the word smurf. It's just in every sentence. So I don't punish my kids for using a power word, but we do have discussions about the appropriateness of the word when they let one slip.
I ought to say he's 11. And in class, he turned to the teacher and said, "Shut the Frankenstein up."
Okay, yeah, so that's not about the word so much as it is the thing he did. Yeah.
Well, right, and that was the thing. To me, it was the intent, the vitriol behind right. What he said, which really made me upset. Because I tell my kids straight up, There is no word that is off limits. It's where you're at and the intent of the word. I tell them all the time, when it's just me and them, you can say anything you want to say. Use any language you want to use. You know, there is no hold barred. The quote Hulk Hogan, no holds barred. But when you're in different atmospheres, different places with different people, you must change your speech. And, you know, he got a little upset and he didn't. So he paid the price. He was unbelievably sorry before the soap was in his mouth. But I needed to reinforce the fact that this was something that will be not accepted.
Yeah, my 10-year-old and my 14-year-old were fighting recently, which is not unusual for children of that age to do. But this was more violent than normal. And I busted in and said, "What's going on here?" And the 10-year-old said, "She threw a glass of effing water in my face." I was like, okay, as a parent, I'm kind of glad she used the word so appropriately, you know, but also we have to have the discussion about when and where to use a power word.
Yeah, and I'll say, speaking of power words, last week, Six Flags America, we as a family make the mistake of, we always take up too many of the chairs at the water park than we actually need. Because in reality, most of the people are out in the pool most of the time. So realistically, three chairs would have been perfectly fine for six of us. But we took up six chairs, whatever, okay? My oldest son's stuff was on the furthest chair away, didn't think anything about it. His glasses were on the chair, and next chair down after that, a guy with kids that were obviously not his naturally, is what I'll say. And the kid was easily 13, 14 years old, big kid, started standing on the chairs and basically stepped right on my son's glasses. And the wife says something, I say something. It took like a full 3 seconds for the kid to move. And then I finally said an expletive, "Get off the chair," with an extra little spice in there. And then the guy said to me, "You don't have to cuss." I said, "Well, apparently I do," because he didn't listen. And then he said, "I can't believe that you would cuss around kids." I said, "I cuss around everybody. Everybody cusses around everybody. This is the real world." And, you know, if you hide that kind of thing from a kid, I firmly believe that when he does learn those words, he then goes a little overboard with them. You know, it's just me.
Yeah. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to start the show tonight with an email. Because I knew this was coming. We have an audience of smart people. And when you talk to smart people and you are not 100% correct about what you say to smart people, you get corrected. And so I have an email here from Captain Zero, our friend Christian, who had some things to say about my, shall we say, very abbreviated discussion of waves in physics. So he says, "Hey guys, as always, you guys make me think something that isn't as easy as it used to be. Frequencies, audio versus radio. Mark, while you may be able to pitch your voice really high, no matter how high up you go, it will forever and always be sound waves that you produce. These are mechanical in nature and cannot travel through a vacuum, unlike electromagnetic radio waves. It is the electromagnetic waves that are of concern. Your bog standard microwave operates at around 2.4 gigahertz wavelength. This is a high-powered, dirty transmitter, and the Faraday cage, aka oven cavity, contains this radiation and heats the food inside the cavity. There are several fail-safe mechanisms to ensure it does not radiate with the door open. As an advanced ham radio operator who dabbles in microwave transmissions, I can see a concern with the accumulated exposure to this or any radiation. Will we all die 10 minutes after they turn this stuff on? Of course not. But, as Dor can attest to, very few people thought that carbohydrates were bad for you 50 years ago. Unfortunately, unlike carbohydrates in food, no individual will be able to avoid this radiation unless they move to an uninhabited part of the world and live by themselves. The new 5G antennas will be everywhere and at a much lower height than the previous 4G system. As you will note, these new higher frequencies have a reduced range because they're easily absorbed by anything in their path. Unfortunately, that includes the human body. Absorbed radiation of this type heats the body tissue and so far does not seem to cause excessive harm, though some of the chaps who were working on the DEW line in the last century and who stood in front of the radar antennas to warm up in the cold may have a different view. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but my dying early so someone can watch Netflix on their phone is also not that appealing. The sky is falling is not an appropriate response, but neither is the sticking our heads in our sand and ignoring the possibilities. On the Huawei debacle, I too think the USA thing will eventually blow over, but the following headline is a tad more concerning to me. BBC News reports that ARM employees have been instructed to halt, quote, all active contracts and support entitlements and any pending engagements with Huawei due to the U.S. trade ban. Comments? So you've got two things in there. I'm not going to rebut what you have to say about radio waves. Everything you said there is either physically accurate or emotionally accurate to your state of mind, and so I will not disagree with it.
Well,
by physically,
honest,
I mean in the laws of physics.
And to be honest, that's why I like hams. Hams, let me rephrase that, experienced, knowledgeable hams, not just people who got the basic license. They have a good base understanding, far superior than the average fella, is what I'll say. Yes. And I did not rebut you when you talked about your voice becoming wave. Yes, I understand the difference between sound waves and...
There is no difference. It's a wave. If you vibrate fast enough, it becomes light. If you vibrate faster, you know, there is no difference. A wave is a wave. The point is my vocal cords can't vibrate that fast, but a wave is a wave.
Right. Electromagnetic spectrum. I understand how he was saying the difference. There's going to be many of them, but I'll say this. For instance, if you're ever in Baltimore, South Baltimore, getting on 95 right by the old Baltimore Sun building, by the casino, by where the cruise ship is, if you look up, you will literally see a water tower covered in at least 200 mobile antennas. Okay. It's really difficult to get closer than that. Okay. We are an extremely high percentage of water, 70% or whatever. Okay. I think it's actually 90% water. If that water is safe to drink, which I will bet my life on that it is, the likelihood of that same type of radiation in extreme fluffy air quotes damaging us is extremely unlikely. And that's the whole thing. This is about probability. This is not about certainty. This isn't a game. This is the quantum universe that we live in. Certainty is near impossible. We have to go with probabilistic outcomes. And from what we all know, from what the real people know about these real spectrums, these real frequencies, the probability is nothing. Nothing's going to happen. No one's going to get hurt. Maybe one out of 10 billion people might develop something that they're already susceptible to because of this type of thing. But now the ARM thing, it already blew over. They already said, never mind, we can work with them, because there's a little gotcha. As long as it's less than 25% of this whatever, they can still do the business. And they literally came out less than 24 hours later and said that they're going to be able to do business with them. This is why, Mark, I'm literally tempted. I'm super tempted to do what I would call like a 2-week news show, which is I only go over news from 2 weeks ago or from some time in the past.
Give just a chance to die off.
Right. Well, just to see how relevant and how accurate stories were presented, because I'm willing to bet a huge amount of them will be literally, I don't want to say clickbait, but the wrong thing emphasized.
Well, I don't even like to use the word without air quotes, but modern journalism, as it is known today, isn't about longevity. The click is all they need. Once you've clicked, they've won. Whether the article even survives a first reading doesn't matter. Is the headline catching, and can it click? And that's a little frustrating to me. Even on the major news outlets, not just the bloggers. I mean, the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world, their online presence is not about journalism. It's about getting you to click the headline.
Right. I do believe real journalists still exist. That's the one caveat I'll give. I do think they do exist, but I don't think they're a large percentage of them at any one website, organization, or whatever. You know what I mean? They're very few and far between, it seems like. And I will give Captain Zero credit. He spelled Huawei correctly. That's not easy.
Easy. It's Huey Wee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not hard at all.
Yeah, sure. Two like software updates, I want to say, but they're actually the same thing over again, which is Google Maps on Android is seeing an update. The first one I have no link for is just, it's now going to start to display to you not only the speed limit, but your approximate speed at that point in time. How fast are you driving? Thus, sooner or later, it's going to be helping warn you that you are speeding or severely under the speed limit, is what I'm going to guess.
So if they add an audio alert when you're X miles over the speed limit, they will have completely eliminated the need for one of my favorite apps, Velociraptor.
See, I don't know. Google is in a very sensitive predicament right now. So I honestly don't know if they will do that. We have DOJ and the Federal Trade Commission both starting investigations on Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google for all different types of things. So I'm really unsure what kind of things that they are going to do next. I would honestly like them to give me the option of, if I'm going X percentage or over the speed limit, to give me an audible sound. I'm not the second. A lot of people suffer from a complex, I can't remember what it's called, greater than average complex or whatever. If you were to ask me, am I better than the average driver? No, I'm probably just about average. Am I smarter than the average person? No, I'm probably just about average. Am I better looking than the average? No, I'm maybe a little bit worse than average. I don't think I'm, special at driving or any other technique in the world. So I want these machines, in air quotes, to help me out whenever they can. The other link here is, to me, very interesting. It's Google Maps is going to start to have what they call crisis information surfacing in it, which I think is a lot to digest. But the gist of it is, if you go to the link in the page, you go about three quarters of the way down, and they say they're going to let you share your location with loved ones when they are aware that there is a crisis in your local area, and you open up Google Maps to try to find some place. They will give you the option to share your location with people in your, not circles anymore, but in your contacts list. They're going to ask you, and they're also going to present to you more timely road closures. So if literally roads are closed because of flooding or something, they're going to make that information come to you, and they're going to, and there was a third thing, they're going to basically help share crisis information directly with you. So if there's updates that come out from like NOAA or other sources, they'll basically have it come down to your phone almost like an Amber Alert kind of thing if they know you're in that area. This is the trade-off between privacy and anonymity and, dare I say, security. And it's all about intent. That this is the kind of thing that we cannot know ahead of time. What's the intent of Google taking our information besides giving us ads? Are they going to be doing things like this? Literally trying to help people live, trying to help people go the safe route in times of severe flooding or some other tornado or some other sort of circumstance. I keep waiting for my Google Maps when I'm driving home to tell me it's about to rain, I'm about to go into a storm, that kind of thing. Just because every little bit of information you can give somebody in their trek that can help them be safer, I think, is a good thing.
Somebody asked me the end of last weekend, is there an app where that will, you can put in your route if you're traveling like across multiple states, and it will give you the weather along that route? And I was like, I'm almost certain we talked about this on Android App Addicts, but I couldn't come up with it. But that's certainly a natural thing that Google would be able to do, and just simply say, hey, in the next 10 minutes, you're going to be driving into some hail. You might want to pull over at a rest stop or something.
Yeah. And to me, it's the kind of thing where if this was 6 years ago, we would have to find an app to do it. But it's the kind of thing where now it could be one of those things Google presents in the next 30 days, or it might take them 3 years. I don't know. I have not found anything that will give you, recognize your GPS coordinates, notice your direction of GPS movement, and then give you notifications on weather based upon that. I don't know of such a beast. If there is one out there, AAA@pomus.com. If there isn't one out there, write it and then give us 10% of your profits.
So I want to not have to open Google Maps. I want to have Google Assistant know where I'm going, and estimate based on the fact that I've been on the interstate for the last 20 minutes. I'm probably going to stay on the interstate and say, hey, here's a thing coming up. I don't know why that doesn't already do that. I mean, it already tells me the traffic on the way to work because it knows I go to work every day. And in fact, my routine has recently changed where I go to different places throughout the week. It took it a couple of weeks, but now it's figured that out. And it, in the mornings it says, here's your drive to this new place over here. So why doesn't it do things like, why do I have to have Google Maps open for it to tell me that there's a speed trap ahead? Why can't it just do that?
The speed trap, I have no legitimate answer for. The weather thing, I don't know of Google buying a weather company yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I guess the difference is now that I'm talking it through, when you have maps open, the you're taking the responsibility for the additional data and battery drain of updating your GPS second by second, whereas the assistant does it every few minutes at most.
Yes, I can tell you this. When I went into Google Maps on my like son's phone, and I open up Maps and I say share the location, share it with Door Geek. When he just has the phone in his pocket and he's going to where he's going to pick up my youngest son, I can see it only updates every 2 to 3 minutes where his location is. So it still could be one of those things that they could silently, in air quotes, pick up and make use of. It just would be a slightly less accurate, is what I'll say.
And actually, it's only every couple minutes if it knows you're watching on the map. If, like, I track my kids all the time. The first time I open it up, it'll say last check-in was X hours ago.
Yes.
And then it says, oh, somebody's looking. I'll update more often.
Yes, and that's one of those things. It's like when you do find your device, it's the Google server pinging the phone saying, hey, wake up. Yeah.
And, you know, Guy in the Tub says that I want to be tracked more and I should try logging into Facebook. I don't mind tracking if I get something out of it. I've been very open about that. Privacy is not a big deal for me in terms of my electronics, because I want them to serve me. I want to use me as a data point to make your services better. I'm all about that.
Well, and let's be honest. Privacy is an illusion. Privacy in the United States of America has not existed for years and years and years. Maybe in Canada, you have more privacy. Something tells me you don't. They just give you the impression that you have more.
Yeah. I mean, the best way to be private is to be boring.
The best way to be private is to live in the Sahara Desert or someplace where there is no other people. Because just walking down the street in America, you're being captured on cameras. You're being captured on devices. All you need is just somebody doing a selfie, Instagram, live stream feed, Facebook thing for you to go in the background, facial recognition software to say, hey, there's a 20% match. That's Steve McLaughlin. It's definitely possible. It's definitely doable. It definitely happens.
It doesn't have to be government sponsored. There's at least 10 Ring doorbells in my neighborhood.
No. That's the thing. The government, in typical government fashion, is completely incompetent at it. It's the private companies that do good at it. And did you hear about the Ring video Ring doorbell? There's at least one jurisdiction, I can't remember the state, who are literally subsidizing the price of the video Ring doorbell to try to get more of them in their jurisdiction because they have an agreement to where they can basically at any point in time turn the camera on and see what's coming out of the camera at any point in time, which is a little, you know, slightly worrisome.
No, that doesn't bother me. That is a public thing. It's the front of my house. Oh, that's the public. Doesn't bother me in the least.
It isn't that. It's the fact that you have government employees than having free range access to that.
Yeah, it just makes it easier. Now they don't have to drive and sit on the corner. It doesn't give them any abilities they didn't have before. It just makes it easier.
Oh, it gives them lots of access. It gives them nonstop 24-hour fast forward, rewind then footage remotely without having to pay a warm body to sit there.
Right. Just makes it easier. No new abilities. Just easier.
Oh, well, trust me. Government employees are all about easier. If anything involves work, you know, maybe next week I'll get on that. The next thing that I'm going to just chat about really quick was Google Stadia. It's an Android related thing is what I'm going to say. And it's because you'll be able to ubiquitously go from phone to tablet, from tablet to Chromebook, from Chromebook to laptop, from laptop to desktop, from desktop to TV and all around back again kind of thing. So it is at least Android related. I love the animation that happens when you first go to this store.google.com page. It's just smooth. And now, if they stick with their current plan, I'm pretty confident Stadia is going to be an unbelievably huge, colossal failure in every respect. They want to charge $129 for the pre-order where you get a controller and you get a glorified Chromecast Ultra and you get 3 months of service. It's going to be around $10 a month worth of service. Right now, you're only going to get one free game with your monthly subscription fee. Every other game and every other game they plan on, you're going to have to pay for separately. So you're going to have to pay $40 to $60 per game, and you have to pay $10 a month for the luxury of being able to go from phone to tablet, tablet to Chromebook, Chromebook to TV, TV to laptop, laptop, you know, all that kind of thing.
So that's no different than the Xbox and the Microsoft Live service. That's exactly the same thing.
No, both of them give you a certain number of games free every month. Google Stadia said you're only going to get one free game in the beginning, and that's it. You're never getting anything free again.
Now, I've been out of that world for a while. I gave my Xbox away about 7 years ago. But in that time, I had the Xbox service, and I paid $10 a month just to be able to talk to other Xbox people. Right. And I didn't get any free games out of it. Well, I bought Halo. I bought, you know, whatever I needed, and then I paid the monthly service to be able to use that online.
Yeah. Now you get Xbox Arcade as part of your. If you pay by the year, you get that part of it. They're offering no communication, anything extra. It's literally just you have the privilege of using their controller if you want to. You don't have to, and just to be able to move from device to device. You can pay, I believe it is $11 or $12 a month next year, and you'll have 4K content. To me, if I'm going to have to pay $40 to $60 per game, why would I jump ship on my current console?
Going to have to be really good.
Well, they're going to need more than just really good. I can see people who only care about the streaming capabilities, people that only care about the community aspects being drawn towards such a ecosystem, but that's not enough. OnLive has taught us, you know, Microsoft's endeavors have taught us, you need an unbelievable amount of people in order to make this a truly profitable thing. And unless they change something in the game, or of course I'm completely wrong, I don't see this being alive next November is what I'll say.
Yeah, Google can afford to lose a few hundred million. Won't be a big deal.
They can, but I'll say this. They're going to need to invest a lot of money up front on infrastructure, which of course they can, hardware, which they can, and bandwidth, which they do own a metric ton of dark fiber. So as long as they have that all infrastructure ready, if there is a spike where people do enjoy it, then I think they have a possibility of being successful, but I don't see the average gamer going in for this. If it was $125 for the controller, the Chromecast, and a year of the service, and with the service every month I would have, like, you know, 5 or 10 games to pick from, I could see buying it for my kid. It would still be more expensive than a console, but at least I wouldn't have to worry about every couple weeks buying them a game. I'll just tell them, look, next month you're going to get some more games.
Right. Speaking of dark fiber, did we talk on this show about Google just giving up on Google Fiber, pulling out of cities and writing a check for $500 million and saying, here, you patch your own holes in the pavement. We're not even going to do that for you.
Not really, no.
Yeah. That, I mean, we all knew it was a gamble when they started doing it, but that's a very, well, I started to say it's an un-Google-like thing, but no, if you've Google Wave, Google Plus, that's exactly what they do. They just drop something and walk away. But in this case, they dropped whole cities after having done tons of construction work and tore up the streets and then just walked away and said, it reminded me of like the Wild West guy who shoots up a saloon and throws a 20 at the bartender and says, sorry about the mess. That's exactly what they did in some of these places. They just, sorry about the mess, flew through my Adam as they walked away.
And I'll say, I really honestly feel sorry for the people who were like within eyesight of getting fiber and then Google just walks away. Because those people were for months licking their lips, expecting, oh, here comes that fiber, here comes that fiber, here comes that fiber, and then boom, gone. Part of it is I think that they think wireless technology is going to become so advanced, we don't need hardwired infrastructure. And here's the thing, I understand their logic behind it. We have hardwired infrastructure because we were among the very first in the world to start to do what we do. Other countries and other continents like Africa, virtually all of their infrastructure is wireless. With all of the rest of the world being so heavily focused on wireless infrastructure, you bet your butt more advancements will be made in a quicker fashion with such infrastructure because you don't have to dig up earth. The most expensive thing to do in the world of construction of any measure is to move earth. Whether it's just dig a hole down or just to re-flatten land or anything, or building a tunnel, aka Elon Musk and his boring company, the most expensive thing in the world is what do you do with the dirt once you start to move it? You know, it's ridiculous.
If you move a mountain, you have to build a mountain somewhere else.
Right. A new podcast. I'm not going to put a link to the notes to it. It's called Factually. It's by Adam Conover, the guy that at least used to be, I don't know if they still is, hosted a show on True TV. Adam Ruins Everything. I believe the show is now over. He's now basically strictly moving on doing podcasts. He is a very opinionated fellow who doesn't hide his opinions, is what I will say. So there's the caveat to be warned. But his new podcast, Factually, has only had like two episodes out. The latest one, there's basically a Elon Musk skeptic was on the show. And that person was the head of the, I believe, Los Angeles transportation for the whole city. And like, you know, how does he think he's going to do that? You know, I mean, she has really experienced for decades in the industry. And some of what he says is completely nonsensical. But of course, he's a billionaire, so I guess he can get away with saying that kind of thing.
Before you move on to your next thing, let me read another email from longtime supporter and contributor Ivor. This is a long email. Settle down, folks. Grab a beverage of choice, but it's worth reading. He says, hey, guys, he's talking about the email we got last week from a listener who called our show a snower fest, specifically the show that Dore had done a couple of weeks ago about Google I.O. And so it says, hey, guys, first, I was incredulous when I heard Mark read the email from the listener labeling the show as a snore fest. However, the more I think about it, the more I think you may have a point. Let me explain. Nudity and car chases. Not once have I seen any full frontal nudity or car chases on the show. I'm sure if you've spiced things up a bit and got Dore to flex his pecs every so often, that the listener numbers would avalanche out of control. Who doesn't like a good old-fashioned car chase? The phrase empty your tank would take on a whole new meaning if it involves Mark being pursued by police and narrowly missing rustic fruit vendors while doing overly dramatic J-turns. Fantastic! Advertising is exciting, too. There's a complete lack of advertising for Birch, Gold, ZipRecruiter, Stamps.com, or any other health supplements whatsoever. All podcast listeners love and cherish moments, advertisements for this stuff. And in fact, if you had a survey of dentists who listen to podcasts, I'm sure 9 out of 10 would say they're not there. If there's not at least 47 different ads playing during the course of the podcast, they wouldn't bother listening to it. Rampant drug abuse. I've never heard any of the hosts ask anyone if they've tried DMT. We all know that unless you're doing a podcast with a hypodermic needle sticking out of your arm and white powder all over your face, that you're completely out of touch with the kids and you're just a big fat square daddy-o. Semi-famous guest. You have no semi-famous guests. We're all the 1980 sitcom stars who've just come out of the rehab for the 15th time and written a book about their experiences taking DMT and Dancing with Squirrels. It's a well-known fact that podcasts are really just a platform for washed-up has-beens to schlep their poorly ghost-written novels about how boring they are, and you guys are just swimming against the tide, man. Explosions. Your show suffers from a distinct lack of explosions. How about blowing up an old Android phone every now and then? Or a how-to on hacking a phone and to be the guidance system for a homemade thermonuclear ICBM. That's the sort of thing that will get Patreon subscribers lining up. Dancing girls. Every podcast worth its salt has to have a line of dancing girls. And the more feather fans and bare legs slash breasts, the better. Dancing girls and show tunes, of course. I'm sure if you had a live phone-in with callers giving their own renditions of top songs from Oklahoma or Cats, you'd have a runaway success on your hands. Just a few small points there I think the show could be improved. If you'd like me to take on a consulting role, and just give me a call and we'll talk numbers. Looking forward to future exciting episodes. Thank you, Ivor. Thank you.
And that's why I like Ivor. Yeah, because what I'll go back and revise what I said previously was we're not supposed to be exciting. We're supposed to be like a logical discussion, just hanging out. And then once in a while, we crack a joke at each other. I mean, that was the whole thing when Podnuts first began. We dreamt like it's a open garage where people are sitting there playing darts. And then somebody walks by and just hears a conversation, and then we call them in to hang out. It's that. It isn't a showcase. It isn't supposed to be lights, camera, action. If that's what you want, then I don't know why you ever listen, is what I'll say. I don't know.
Anyway, enough about that. Thank you, Ivor, for the excellent email. One of the best I've ever read on the air, on the bits. Hey, Dore, you got any apps on this show called Android App Addicts?
I do, but this is an app that first, honestly, I think first has a conversation behind it. Okay, I don't want to say the privacy thing because to me it's not really about privacy thing. It's more just about choice and control. I like choice. I'm a firm believer The reason monopolies exist is when governments get involved and governments start regulations. If you take a look in the history of the world, monopolies typically come about because government impose regulations to help that company become a monopoly. Whether you believe me or not, I don't care. Anybody, listeners or whatever, because that's just how it happens. So I'm a firm believer in competition. I'm also a believer in the free market, but that's a different podcast. Competition to me is key. And I saw this link and I was immediately, unbelievably, apprehensively like down on this link because it says Bloom, a free open source Google programmed in Rust. As soon as I read this, I said, so what? This is like another DuckDuckGo? I mean, what do they mean? You know, I was literally sarcastically talking to myself in that exact tone. What is this? Kind of thing. And Rust, I don't know, Mark, if you're aware about Rust and its, what's a word? The atmosphere around it. But Rust is supposedly the next generation future programming language. Everything should be done in it. It's the best thing ever. If you still code in C# or C++ or whatever, you're stupid.
Oh, it's the new language of the gods, of course.
Yes, and every operating system should be programmed in it and all this kind of stuff. But then I actually started clicking links in this article, and I went through a little bit further, and this is actually kind of interesting, okay? When they say they want to be the next Google or an open version of Google, they don't mean a search engine. The last thing they do is a search engine. They try to do the other things. If you go to bloom.sh, which I'll tell you, being a Linux guy, I'm not completely comfortable going to a website called bloom.sh. I keep thinking it's going to run a script on my box and take it over. But I went there. You go create a free account, blah, blah, blah. And then what you get in it is actually tools. You get calendaring. You get a drive. You get the ability to dynamically add URLs to download to the drive directly, which I like a lot. You get a gallery app. You get more than a couple things like baked into this. You get 28 gigs of file space free. So competition is what I think we all need. If I really now want more than ever, I want Google to be at the beck and call of the United States government. And I want them to not work with Huawei. And while you're at it, don't work with Xiaomi. Don't work with Oppo. Don't work with any of those companies. And force those companies to do something else. Because if they do, Google is going to be in a lot of trouble. Because in hindsight, Google does nothing spectacular. It does enough acceptable, is what I'll say. Now, the search engine, it's hard to beat that. But the drive, the calendaring, the galleries kind of thing could easily be overtaken by somebody else. I do believe there is a way you can actually download this as well and actually run your own instance of Bloom. But I literally found this today. I think this was actually published today. Can't remember. Yeah, June 5th. It was published yesterday, so I found it today. So if you just want to look at something trying to be competitive versus the giant we call Google, take a look at Bloom. I'm not going to say it's going to wow you. I'm not going to say it's going to change the world. My name is not Bill Nye. Hi, my name is Door-to-Door Geek. I just found this interesting enough for me to at least bring it here, download it, install it. And there is an Android app. I like trying new things. So I'm going to leave this installed for at least a couple of weeks and see what kind of functionality I can get out of it.
So it's got, the notes and the storage, basically their version of Dropbox and music. What it's missing is a few killer things like, Docs, for example, is a killer app. But it's an interesting idea. I would love, what I've been looking for years is an open source self-hosted version of Google Docs. And a lot of people have claimed to be that, but nobody's actually ever been that. I have hope that these guys might continue on to do that. But I'm all in. I like options.
Yeah, I'll say you can get close to Google Docs on your own. It involves installing a very specific version of LibreOffice on a box you control, and then you get some manner of collaboration. Live collaboration, it is not smooth. It is not as smooth. You can do stuff like, what's it called? Pirate Pad, where you can get collaboration, but the formatting is not there. The functionality is not there. I'll say this, one of the hardest things to truly mirror is the true doc Google Doc environment. Of course, Office 365, you can do a lot of that. Zoho Office, you can actually do a fair amount of it in Zoho Office as well, but you can't self-host it yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much longer it's going to take, but I will say the platform was the one that caught me off guard. It's a security scanner. They have Drive, they have Bitflow, that's the cloud storage from direct downloads. Notes, very light text notes. Contacts, Arcade, I was afraid to open that today, so I didn't. Music and Gallery, but the platform is the one that interested me. It's basically a security scanner. So anywhere you're at, you open up your Bloom, and then you run, you can run a security scan right from inside it on whatever network that you're currently on. You better do it on networks that you are allowed to run this on, is what I'll say. But that was at least interesting. Something different.
Yeah, clicking the install button. You know, other people complain on other shows about how hard it is to find apps. Door, on the other hand, brings you an app that is 3 days old with 100 installs because he's the door-to-door geek and nobody else is.
Any show that literally brings you one app a show, to me, is not even trying. A Google alert, just setting a Google alert on new Android application in like air quotes something will get you 15 applications a week. Maybe if I was getting paid like they were, I would be just as incompetent, but I'm not. So I don't, but I do have plenty of apps. The first one I want to bring though is only because it's an app I will never buy. It's an app I will never pay for, but it is a sign, hopefully not, but it's a sign of things to come. Wonder Boy is a semi-popular series of games on PC and I believe on PS and Xbox. There is a version of at least one of them on Nintendo Switch. Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap. It was just on sale $6.99. Now it's back up to $9.99 by .emu. .emu, we've brought that publisher on this show easy 50 times. Adventure, everybody 10 and up. 172 reviews. I'm very shocked they have that high of reviews. 4.4 average reviews. Version 1.1.0, updated May 29th, size 21 megs, 1,000 plus installs. You need Android 5.0 and up. This kind of thing, you don't have to worry about permissions. This is by a very well-known developer. It is overpriced, in my opinion, but because of the name it brings behind it, I guess it can be a little bit overpriced. I encourage people to look at the screenshots of this game. It is utterly gorgeous, and I've played previous versions of Wonder Boy, and it is a really well thought out, well programmed game with actual depth involved. So put it on your wish list. Maybe when it's like $4 or $5, pick it up, and I guarantee you, you will have fun. I just can't, and I really hope this isn't the sign of like even more games coming out to be $10 or more.
That's a lot.
It is.
It's not. I mean, Xbox games are $50 or $60. It's not a lot. But in the Android world, we've been programmed to think it's a lot.
Right, right. So then I'll go the complete polar opposite. And this is a game that I have to make sure that my kids see. And the reason is there's a game that they played on Steam. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but it's Cooper's Space Program is what I think is. I can never pronounce it. Basically, you're aliens creating a space program for the first time where you have to literally build rockets together, figure out angles, figure out fuel mixtures. Things explode all the time. And your goal is to, you know, orbit the planet, go to the moon, blah, 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 blah. This is basically that same kind of discovery, build, crafting function, but in the Lego universe. This is called Lego City Explorers. Everyone 10 and up, ages 8 and under. Acceptable. Literally 8 reviews, completely free to download, completely free to install, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. Hard to beat that, in my opinion. Updated May 29th, 2019, 82 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs, 1.0.2 is the version, 4.2 and up. We don't have to worry about the permissions again. This is a official Lego app. There's nothing to worry about. This is the perfect kind of application to put on like an Amazon tablet that you give to a kid. This is actually educational in the sense of basic rocket science, is what I'll say, but it's also a heck of a lot of fun.
I like Lego. I'm sorry, I just don't have much to say about any of these so far.
I mean, if you had like a, you know, 6-7 year old, I think it would be a cool thing.
I'm going to be sexist for a moment and say this is a game for boys. Not to say the girls can be interested in this, but if you get 300 boys and 300 girls in a room, you're going to get much more of the boys interested in this than the girls. And I have a house full of girls.
Yeah. Okay. I can't argue or say you're wrong. You know, my boys are boys for now. They identify as such.
Yeah.
Yeah. They identify as boys and they really like this game. This next one is a functional app is what I'll say. This came from Tracy Holtz. Tracy Holtz, longtime friend. He hosted Book Nuts for a while, and he is right now a long-haul trucker. When I say long-haul, I mean really long-haul. The last haul he's doing is 3,500 miles one way. So, yeah, he's on long-haul. This app is for if you want to specifically change your Bluetooth input or Bluetooth output specifically. Like if you have your Bluetooth connected, but for temporary purposes, you want this sound to come through the phone. Or you go to answer a phone call and you want the mic on a different device to be picked up kind of thing. That's what this app is for. It advertises itself as being able to work with older devices and fix Bluetooth mono issues. The app is called Bluetooth Mono Router Mono Mono by Kodococo. Tools, 2,900 reviews, E for everyone, contains ads. I think it's $1.99 to get rid of the ads via a in-app purchase. All the functionality is there if you just download the free version and just, you know, put up with the ads. 4.1 average reviews, updated May 13th, 2019, 3.4 megs in size, 100,000 plus installs, current version 1.3.6, 4.1 Android NUP, so this is definitely compatible with a lot of devices. Permissions, it's going to need at least some permissions, phone, device ID, network, Bluetooth settings, stuff like that. So that's perfectly normal is what I'm going to say. Basically, it's fine-grained control over where audio is coming and where audio is going that you do not get in your normal Android interface. I downloaded it. It wasn't something that I did need, but I can definitely see if I had like the older version of Bluetooth that did not support the A2DP profile, this would fix it for me, in air quotes, for it to work.
So here's a great place where this might come in handy. I have a friend who has a super fancy newfangled car with Bluetooth audio and everything that syncs straight to the phone, but only for calls. She can't listen to her music in her multi-$1,000 super brand new car. She can only do calls. So if she puts this app on her phone, she can play audio through her car speakers. So I will definitely be sharing this with my coworker.
Right. And I'll say the only drawback to the app, which is by design, the app does not close or exit easily. It's intended to not do that. So if you need the app to close, you'd have to go to like your app settings, home, settings, apps, find the app. It's listed as Mono Mono or Mono Router in the app listings and then kill it if you insist that the app stops running. That's the only downside about the app that I will tell you. Everything else just works exactly as advertised. Very cool. I'll get another functional app here because, you know, functional apps are good. This one is by Mozilla. I will say with everything in the universe going over to a Chromium-based Microsoft Edge, Vivaldi, Brave Browser, Chrome, Chromium, all those combined market share is going to become insane, literally insane. And built into the backbone of all those browsers is ad tracking marketing systems. I like competition, so I'm going to support non-Chromium based browsers a little bit more just because they're the underdogs here in the short-term future. So Mozilla, and I'll say this, if you don't understand any Mozilla license, you seriously have a problem reading. Because if you just search Mozilla license, it's like maybe a paragraph and a half long total text, and even I can read it and understand it. That doesn't happen too often. So I was really happy to see that. This is called Firefox Screenshot Go Beta Find screenshots fast. Basically, it is a an application that gives you a very easy way to find all of your screenshots and add like text onto a screenshot. Basically, I'm just going to try to support Mozilla whenever I can, wherever I can. I literally last month did donate $20 to the Mozilla Foundation just because I really want competition when it comes to this kind of thing.
So Leonardo Tanuwajaya says, "This app changed my life for the better. The answer I'd been looking for. I'd always hated the fact that my screenshots are unorganized and screen swipe gestures to screenshot is just super painful. But finally, I can screenshot with only a tap. A tip, though. Please give an option to make the screenshot go button more transparent. The bright blue color is good looking, but quite distracting. Thanks." That's an over-the-top review if I ever heard one. Life-changing. This app changed his life, Dor.
Well, and that, and I'll say he has an epic, like, avatar picture of himself, too. Like, he's straight out of, like, a Superman movie or something.
Staring dramatically into the middle distance.
White. I will say this. If you take a lot of screenshots, you have specific needs about your screenshots. If you literally only take, like, one screenshot every 3 months, this might not be the app for you. But if you're like an abuser of them, which I will tell you this, I take easily 10 times more screenshots than I do selfies. Not surprising there. So I'm going to definitely install this app, and I guarantee you I will find a use for it.
Cool stuff.
Very cool. Another non-gaming app that I have to bring, and this is the kind of thing I'm literally obligated to bring, and it's because it's Khan Academy. Really quick, short diatribe. Microsoft made Bill Gates. Bill Gates made Microsoft. Whatever. I was the guy who would have very quickly slapped a pie right in Bill Gates' face, you know, 20 years ago or something. Everything he's done in the last whatever years has literally made me completely 180 shift on what can come out of Microsoft as a company. Doesn't mean I trust them, but it means that yes, unbelievable good things can come out of that kind. I'm terrified in the next 10 years, I'm going to say the same thing about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. Like, think of the pivot that they did to where now they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this. I'm terrified that's going to happen. As of yet, it hasn't happened. But Bill Gates literally gave Khan Academy, the guy's name is Khan Academy. He literally gave him, I believe it was $40 million and said, here, keep doing what you're doing. That's the kind of thing where if I had the money, I think I might have did the very same thing. Because I don't know about you, Mark, if you have watched any Khan videos, they're unbelievably impartial, unbiased, like facts about things. Whether it is, how does a loan work? What does interest look like? How is basic chemistry? How do magnets work? Yes, the amazing mystery of how magnets work, Khan Academy has a video on. I'm afraid to know the number of hours on Khan Academy, but to me, it's one of the true gems on the internet, surrounded by heaps of callosity bags and defecation, is like the way I put it.
So very early on, my complaint about Khan Academy was the content was good, the delivery was poor. But now that he's got money and he's got, you know, lots of equipment, the quality is stellar. But back in, I mean, I was a fan of the Khan Academy back when I was still in education 8 years ago, and it was just amazing to have that kind of quality education, good teaching, good pedagogy available. Sometimes our teachers would play the lessons in their class because he could teach it better than they could. So yeah, good stuff. And I'm glad they've stood the test of time.
Yeah, and they have came a very long way. This one is Khan Academy Kids free educational games and books. By, of course, Khan Academy Education Category, 2,213 reviews, E for everyone, especially ages 5 and under. Okay, quick, again, tangent. Anybody who complains about kids and screen time, I would really like to just plant a couple knuckles a quarter inch past your nose. The issue is not screen time. The issue is what is on that screen when the kids are on it. Take the opportunity to have your kids addicted to the idea of learning. It's possible. trust me, not just fart jokes and your mama jokes and bad meme videos, but actual education. You put them in front of kids earlier, they're much more accustomed to it later in life. I have personal experience with that. 4.6 average reviews on this app, updated April 18th, 2019, 97 megs in size, 100,000 plus installs, current version 2.3, 5.0 Android and up. Again, permissions, we're not even going to look at it. This is Khan Academy, people. This is the kind of thing I beg you. If literally, go buy a $20 cheap tablet from Walmart, put this kind of app on it, and then give it to a kid under 5 and let the kid sit there for an hour or two a day going through this application. There's little doubt in my mind they will come out of it years later a better, smarter, more productive person, better able to actually use critical thinking. I have no problem saying that out loud.
All right, Dora, we're getting long in the tooth here. Let's start emptying the old tank there. But while you're thinking of what you're going to read next, let me read another email from one of our fans here. Well, I had it, and then there we go. All right. Stephen says, "Hi, Dora and Mark. I have been listening to you since I discovered your podcast in 2014 and have enjoyed catching up with the back catalog of episodes. I look forward to your podcast each week. First of all, can I say how sorry I was to hear of Eric's illness and passing? The only consolation is that he's not suffering anymore. I bet he's up there listening to podcasts right now. He was such a great guy to listen to and made the show such an awesome podcast to listen to. Anyway, here are a couple of apps you might want to discuss on your show." And so he's got three different things. The one is the Car Home Ultra. He says, "I have it linked up through Tasker to start up when I have the phone charging and Wi-Fi off, basically when I start driving. And it has the current address / location at the top, plus the speed, date, time, and weather. And you can add large buttons to access your apps, direct dial your contacts, or play and forward your music. As well as I have map speed limits, which actually may not be very useful anymore. He also says he uses overlays, which allows you to place widgets on top of other apps. I have a widget of Podcast Addict, which I switched to after your recommendation as BeyondPod was becoming unreliable, and Power Amp, so I can see the album art. I've heard you mention that you listen to around 140 podcasts and wonder if you'd have a list of them that I could check out. I always love discovering something new to listen to. Anyway, keep up the excellent work. AA has kept me entertained and informed on my commute for years, and I've enjoyed installing the many apps that you have recommended. Thanks again." So I'll put some of those links in the chat room while Dor comments.
And I'll make sure that they're in the notes as well for the show. And I will make sure the goal is right now, the last link in the show will be a link to an OPM file, OPML file, which is basically nothing more than a listing of RSS feeds and titles of feeds. It was taken, I can't remember how long ago. Now I'm back up to, I believe, over 150 podcasts, but it literally comes with a warning. I said it once, I'll say it again. I listen to everything from Ancient Aliens to Cosmos. I listen to political things on the extreme left. I listen to political things on the extreme right. I listen to basically everything. I like to try to be at least well-educated on all kinds of fronts, not just fronts that I agree with, is what I'll say. So I'll try to make sure all those links are in, that link is in the show as well. But please, please don't be offended. Anybody, if you click that and you see a show that you expect to see and you don't see, or vice versa, you look at it and say, "What is this? Why would he listen to such a thing?" I listen to 24 hours about a podcast a day. So, you know, I got to fill it with something.
That's a lot of podcast listening.
It is. And I will say in the last 2 months or so, much more of them are podcasts that are news-based, like Global BC, BBC World News Reports, Sky News, Bloomberg Business, more than a couple like that as well, just because I find that when people are talking about money, is what I'll say, when people are focusing on money, at least I know that they're biased towards what makes money. Where when you listen to like normal news broadcast, you might have to listen for a while till you recognize what their bias actually is, if that made any sense.
It did, okay. Kind of, yeah.
Okay, this next one this last one, because we'll say the last one, is actually a game from Atari. Now, you think Atari, I think Atari, you think really ugly game. Games with big blocks where your character is a red square and your enemy is a blue square and you gotta, you know, kill, you know, no, that's not what this is. This is called Citytopia, TM, simulation game, 167 reviews, E for everyone's, does have ads, does have in-app purchases. I'm not sure the limits of the game yet, or if you had to buy something just to proceed. I haven't gotten that far yet. Completely free to download, but I'll say 4.4 average reviews, updated May 31st, 2019, 57 megs in size, 10,000 plus installs, current version 2.1.1, Android 5 and up is required. Permissions are nothing special. Storage, photos, media, all, I'll say, normal permissions. This is like the old Sim City is the absolute best way I can put it, where you have to basically build and construct your city. It is a little bit higher level, a little bit less detailed than something like Sim City. But I will say Pocket City to me was still game of the year last year. Nothing was better as that game was, yet as simple for people to play who don't know anything about the game, and the kind of game you could literally play for a minute here, a minute there, without, you know, having to like put in hours and hours to have fun. This is pretty dang close to that game, except it literally looks better. And so far it plays just as smooth, if not better, which blows my mind. I did not think an Atari game might contend for my personal game of the year this year. And we're only in May, and so far this is really close to game of the year.
You know, Atari was the best of the best, given the technology they had available. There's no reason to think they wouldn't still be today. They know games. They were just limited by the technology of the time, which they invented, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the kind of game that I'm having fun with. I'm being almost a little, like, apprehensive with it. I haven't hit any of the paywalls up or any of the things that make these kinds of games bad. I've only literally had it for like a day and a half, but so far I've had definitely fun, is what I'll say, definitely.
The in-app purchases are expensive, as the guy in the tub points out. Starts at $2 and goes up to $33. So if you really enjoy that game, you got to really enjoy it.
Well, or it's just the kind, hopefully it's just the kind of thing when you pay money, you get non-critical pay-to-win type things, is what I really hope.
Yeah. One quick shout out to Corey Kirby, who upped his Patreon pledge this month. Thank you so much, Corey, for doing that. Not only are you awesome, but you're now 52% more awesome. So thank you so much for that. You guys literally keep the show on the air. I mean, you pay for the stuff, and we appreciate it. Thank you. Sorry, I stopped vamping while Dor was still drinking the beer. That's a bad host.
No, you're fine. Because literally when I'm done, the last step I do before saving the MP3 file is truncate a silence. So only the live people will experience that.
And for honestly, Dor, I'm going to call you to task for that. Look, sometimes the awkward silence is beautiful for comedic value. And sometimes I really ply my host skills well to have that, and then you just zip them all and make them go away, and you negate me.
Well, I'll say at least twice in the last year-ish when you've said, I'm just going to let that silence sit there, I have went in and literally selected around that area and said truncate silence, and I left it in, and it was like a good 4 seconds worth of complete silenceness.
It's okay. It's okay to be silent, Dor. Don't be afraid of the silence.
It isn't that I'm afraid. It's just, you know, I got 24 hours to listen to it, you know.
But you're listening it at 87 times the normal anyway. What difference does it make?
Well, and I did have a good friend, Zoke, say, you know, if I were to drive where from where I'm at right now to where you're at right now, that will be over, it was over 40 hours of nonstop driving. And I said, well, just think of it if you were, you know, like doing it as a podcast, it would only take like 1/5 the time.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would probably die in a car accident, but, you know, we didn't go that far.
Or you could do like the Muppets and travel by map.
Yeah, absolutely. Really quick, I just got to say again, people, do not hesitate if you want a free Google Home Mini. Next week is the week that we will be giving it away. next week, June the 13th, 9 p.m. New York time. We will be giving it away more than likely at the end of the show is my logic. And I will have an email address, so I will contact you. You don't have to listen live in order to win it. But don't be shocked if I give double credit to people who are listening live next week as well. So, you know, who knows?
All right. Guy in the tub says, don't put my name in the drawing. Keep that thing away from me. He doesn't want the government spying on him.
They already are. He has an Android phone.
Yeah. I've been thinking of buying a Google Home Mini just to play with it a little bit, but I don't get it. If you're an Android guy already and you have your phone within reach at all times and you can, hey, schmoogle that, why do you need an Android? That's why I went Amazon when I went just to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's no added functionality from what I can tell. There might be a touch more convenience, but most of the time, to me, that convenience wouldn't be for me. It would be for everybody else because my phone is always right there. So I don't, you know, for me, it would literally just be using up extra electricity with getting very little out of it. And I'm green, Mark. I don't cut my grass. Just ask my neighbors. I'm really green.
Yeah. So the most common phrase said around my house is, Alexa, you suck. Okay, Google. That's a very common phrase around my house.
Sounds very believable.
You ask something simple like, hey, what's the 7-day forecast? And she says, currently, it's 72 degrees outside. Hey, Google, what's the long 7-day forecast? And it tells you exactly.
Yeah, I love that. And definitions. Yesterday, literally, as soon as the wife got out of the car, I just watched, boom, 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 boom. She went in the building where she worked at, and I just immediately said, okay, Schmoogle, define onomatopoeia. And then, and then it told me the definition. Then I said, Google, define alliteration. And then it told me the definition, and I thought, I'm right, but I can't tell her I'm right. She'll get mad. So then I just, you know, went to work. And I will say a shout out. If anybody out there, I don't want to say a casting call or anything like that, but I will say this. It's now two people on the show. Honestly, I'm okay even if we had like four people on the show or a very well-behaved five-person show even. It doesn't have to be just two people. The hardest thing to do is to show up every week. Okay. If you don't think you can dedicate to 50 weeks out of 52 weeks a year, do not contact me. If you think.
Sorry, this will be my last show.
No. You were really good for the first year, Mark. And then you built up enough credit in the bank of credibility to where you can take off because I know you're coming back. If you think you can be on this show frequently, I have no problem buying you hardware. I have no problem helping you get better as a podcaster. So I don't expect perfection, nor do I expect a true professional. But if you think you want to be on an Android podcast, aaa@podnos.com. Might take 3 to 4 weeks for us to even connect to see how everything sounds, but shoot me an email, aaa@podnos.com. There will be no bias. There will be no preference. Anybody could be here or nobody. We don't know yet.
Yeah, and it'll change your life. The money alone is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You'll finally be able to save buy that green bean you've been saving up for.
Yeah, I mean, with all the advertisers we have on every show, it just pours in.
Yeah, and if you happen to be a dancing girl willing to bare your breasts, even better.
Side tangent. I was utterly impressed. My kids watch this horrible Disney XD show called Player Select, where all it is people trying to look 10 to 20 years younger playing games on TV. So kids watch. It's really bad television. But I was utterly impressed at the fact that every time I saw a female on that show, they were not completely made up, number one. They were not covered in makeup, number two. And none of them showed anything even remotely close to cleavage, which I'm utterly impressed by Disney for basically pushing that kind of content onto kids. Because every time I see my kid watching a YouTube video of someone playing a game and it's a female, I'm like aghast. No, stop watching that. Change it. I mean, that's borderline softcore.
Yeah. It makes me sad sometimes to think about people whose only money-making attribute is the fact that they're beautiful, because nobody stays beautiful.
Well, and okay, first, my wife showed me two pictures. Two pictures were a can of corn, and corn was pouring out of it. And one side said hardcore pouring, hardcore pour. And the other one said soft corn pour. And it just caught me off as funny. I gotta believe at least some of the people out there who are using sexuality to sell clicks, views, or whatever, they actually have to have, I hope, some actual underlying talent. I gotta believe that there's something else there. I just really hope I'm not wrong. Mm.
It's something I think about a lot as a father of three daughters. You know, the Scarlett Johansson, for example, you know, is a mediocre actress who is gorgeous. And, you know, in Western society, we start to lose interest in a woman after she hits a certain age. And she's got to make all of her money now, and she's doing fine, I'm sure. But, you know, in a few years, she won't be able to buy her way onto a major motion picture. And that makes me sad to think about that's the world in which I'm raising my daughters to live in.
And there's a couple females in Hollywood who have withstood the test of time, is what I'll say. But I still don't think they're getting enough credit, enough stuff, whether it be Meryl Streep or Sally Field or whatever. There are definitely older actresses who could do more and maybe should do more, but they just, you know, Hollywood doesn't seem to like them. And it might be the old Harvey Weinstein mentality, but I don't know.
All right. Didn't want to derail the show in that direction, but every now and then I have a serious thought. I try to get rid of it as soon as possible, though.
Well, here's my serious thought. If you ever need help burying somebody because of anything they did to any of your daughters, don't hesitate to let me know. I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah. I can dispatch them pretty well, I think. I just may need some help carrying them.
Well,
the
you know, you might need an alibi.
Yeah. You know, I learned something today. Interesting trivia fact. Sledgehammer. You ever wonder what the word sledge comes from? It's from Old English for slay. A sledgehammer was the slaying hammer, the killing hammer. That's where the word comes from. It's
one
it was
shot.
The killing hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't mess with the guy who's got the killing hammer.
Yeah, I can definitely not argue with that.
Yeah. All right. That's all I have to say about that. Listening audience, thank you for hanging out with us again. Thank you for those who have supported us over at Patreon. If you'd like to be one of those, Patreon, patreon.com, or just, hey, Google, patreon.com. That works too. / Android App Addicts. And make a pledge there. Again, that is a monthly pledge. So if you pledge $20, it's not $20 a show, it's $20 a month. And, you know, for less than the cost of a gourmet pizza, you can support this wonderful guy right here and all the good stuff that he does. Steve McLaughlin, whom I've never actually shared, you know, oxygen with. I've never met him in real life.
Yet.
I know for a fact he's one of the nicest people on the face of the planet. And he's proven that time and time again with his interactions with other people, with his constant giving of himself and of his talents to this audience. And honestly, that's worth a few bucks. So I would appreciate it if you went to patreon.com. I would consider it a personal favor. You went to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts and kicked in a few bucks. So that's all I got to say about that. Dor, what are your final words of wisdom for the night?
I thank everyone for their support. I thank everyone for their love. Don't forget, always communicate with people out there. Even if you haven't talked to them in 3 years, drop them a message, even if it is Facebook Messenger or someplace. I thank everyone for the birthday wishes that I never saw on Facebook because I don't go on Facebook ever again for the rest of my life. But thank you for saying happy birthday to me. Maybe you listen to this and hear that. And family, don't ever forget family. While they might be the bane of your existence on some days, on other days, they're the only ones there to support you.
All right, let me do a quick app wrap roundup. I forgot to do that. So the Bloom, a free open source Google written in Rust, Wonder Boy, the Dragons app by .emu, Lego City Explorers by Lego Systems, Bluetooth Mono Router by Kotococo, Firefox Screenshot Go Beta, Find Screenshots Fast Unreleased by Mozilla, that's a long title, Khan Academy Kids Free Educational Games and Books by Khan Academy, K-H-A-N Academy, Citytopia by Atari Inc. So, there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 apps on a show that really was a whole lot of other stuff plus apps. So I think we did fine by you there on a show called Android App Addicts. So thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll see you next week. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.